us to consider, and we're calling our teaching today areas that need strengthening. Areas that need strengthening. I think we all need to be taught, encouraged, that in our everyday walk with God, there are areas that need to be strengthened. And we don't know anything unless God reveals this to us. He highlights these areas. And nothing like the Word of God taught to us to show us these areas that need strengthening. And when we are aware that these areas in our life need strengthening, then we can bring it before the Lord in prayer and trust and believe that through that weakness, He makes us strong. And that's the wonderful blessing of this walk, the grace and mercy of God, that it's in our weakness He makes us strong. I don't know fully how He does this. It is miraculous. It is amazing. But the facts are true. The experience is there. Else none of us would be in this place listening to this word this evening. So we're going to look at this teaching, areas that need strengthening. I'm going to take this from the church at Sardis in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 3. And this is the angel that is speaking to the church at Sardis. This church really is quite dead. It looks as though it's got no life in it at all. Much of what we seem to have today. But you see, God always has a remnant. And all the while there is a remnant, the Spirit of God will move, because the last Gentile is to be brought in before the great tribulation starts. And he says here in Revelation 3, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." So here, particularly in verse 3, much is revealed there in the conditions and the state and time that we live in. It seems that very little is happening. It seems to be very dry and so on. But he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard. And so he's bringing our attention back to how we became Christian, how God got our attention, how we became filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, how God didn't make a mistake in calling and choosing us from the foundation of the earth. He says, hold fast and repent. So we need to be in that attitude ready in which to bow the knee, that we're learning all the time. In other words, that humility. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So there I believe that that is revealing the coming of the Lord, when he comes first in the clouds, the catching away, the rapture. Not all will be watching. But he gives the clue to what watching is. And we're told to watch and pray that you may escape all of these things. So our prayer life makes us very watchful. and it is something that we can so easily neglect. Somehow we can be distracted or busy or haven't had time to pray, but we have to be men and women of prayer and to be disciplined in this area, because the warning is here to this church at Sardis. So how do we strengthen these areas? This is what we're looking at today. Well, some firstly don't see the need to strengthen these areas. And some are just complacent. They don't take it seriously. But you know, when I read and I look at things like this in the scriptures, I find myself calling out to God. There's still areas in my life that need strengthening, overcoming. And all of us do need that strength if we're truly walking with God. So there he says quite clearly that we see our need of strengthening these areas, and yet you've got Christians who don't see that. You've got Christians who've got this idea, once saved, always saved. So it doesn't matter what I do, I can't lose my salvation. I'm eternally saved. That is a strong teaching. There's a lot believe that. But it's not scriptural. Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved. We walk by faith each day. And we know if we're born again, because we will endure, we will stay with it, we will endure, we will remain faithful. They're all the signs of being called. But you've got a lot who are very complacent and don't see the need of strengthening these areas that he's addressing to the church here at Sardis. Some are blinded in this area, and what often it's spiritual pride. Or we procrastinate, I'll do it later. And it never happens. It never comes. We don't do it later. That's the problem. So when the Spirit addresses, when he reveals these areas that need strengthening, we have to act immediately. Because God has a way of working that desperation in us. Why? Because our very souls could be required this night before God. We do not know. That is the whole point. So we need to know that we stand right before God, clean, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You see, some don't really have this affection or desire. And that is truly a great problem. And those that don't have that, you will find often they fall away from the faith. But praise God, he keeps us hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which he says you will be filled, praise God. But it's also a reminder from where we've come from. It's a reminder that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that we've all sinned and fallen desperately short of the standard of God. That is what it reminds us. The paths we have trod in the past. And if it were not for the mercy and grace of God, I would still be on those paths, going to a Christless eternity. So how we're brought into this deeper life experience and faith. And this is why it's a transformation, a growing, a developing, which of course is what sonship is about. There are many believers who go to churches, but they don't grow. They don't develop. They're not maturing. There's not that desire there. The preachers and teachers don't have a clue that you are to mature and grow in the faith. That's why we're so blessed with the deeper life and our faith walk. You see, Israel had to be reminded of her deliverance. She had to be shown that she was brought out of slavery, bondage in Egypt. Many times, the teachers, the prophets, reminded Israel of her past. The Apostle Paul, or Saul, constantly at times was reminded of his past and what he was doing, persecuting the church in a very bad way. So God will use our history, our past life at times, and he will highlight it to show us from where we've been hewn, where we've come out from, what we were, you see, because we're now a new creation. You see, if you don't really see your past in that way, then it's questionable whether you really truly have been born again, been given that new nature. Because when you have, you realize the contrast, the difference from what it was before. And there are times God will reveal that in order to strengthen those areas. Because sometimes we find ourselves overcoming or drifting along where you think, hey, hang on, I used to do this before I was saved. But, you know, you find you can be shocked. You think, what's happening here? It's a reminder of what my life was before. And it's showing us that God is strengthening areas. It can often be deliverance. He's delivering us, setting us free. And sometimes it's a period, it takes time, and it can be painful. As I say so often, with how God delivers us and how he works with us, it's always a bigger picture. There's always something greater in it than we realize. And that's the greatness, the bigness of God, you see. I'm convinced that a lot of our deliverance, our maturing, our developing in the faith is very instrumental to the salvation of our friends and family who watch us with a beady eye. Oh, they're watching us all right, our families, our friends. But you see, with what God is doing through us can very much be the means of their salvation coming through to the Lord. And that's why every day we see something new in this walk. Every time we come together, we open the Word of God up, there's always something new, something that we haven't seen before, or where God is addressing an area. Or sometimes we listen to the word and you think, wow, that had my name and address on it today, good and proper. He's strengthening those areas just as he was challenging this dead church at Sardis. They're dead, so something has got to happen. It's almost like a resurrection of power, anointing that's got to take place with this church. That's why so often it says you embrace the old to receive the new. And that's how God does it. So he strengthens the things that remain. So we look back at this, he says, so be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So those things that still remain, those weaknesses where God is still dealing with us, he says, stay with it, for they are ready to die. How do they die? By the cross you take up daily and follow the Lord. We are crucified with Christ daily. It is the life of Christ now living in me. That life in me embraces the unlovable. That life in me forgives. That life in me casts away those doubts, fears, unbelief. That is the life in me that does that. It's as I yield and not try and resist. You see, too often we resist. And we say so often that we're to yield over to the Spirit who is ready, as it says here, that those things that are ready to die. For he says, I've not found your works perfect before God. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We know that that is not sinless perfection, but it's a perfection of heart, attitude, motive, faith. That's what it means. Our attitudes, our motives have to be right, pure before God. How we come over, how we treat one another, how we love one another. We don't use one another or belittle one another. No, we don't do that. Our love should always be of encouragement, ready to pray one for another, to support one another, and those who are weak in the faith, you see. That is the life that is within us. That is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And as I've said so often, the fruit is drawn by the Spirit, by God in you. The fruit is in Christ. It's his nature. He is the one that loves through us, forgives through us, long-suffering through us, patient, kind, gentle. It comes from the Spirit, you see, as we yield to that cross daily, because that is the resurrection work of the cross. And eventually you get this. Eventually it starts to become that experience. You know that that is working within you. We have to really understand and know this work that he's doing in us, because this is what's forming sonship. Romans 8. This is how the sons are birthed, are matured. This is our school of experience. And that's why at times it seems very little happens. And yet a huge amount is happening in our everyday walk and experiences and trials and tests and whatever it is. They're all tailor-made for such a way in which to perfect those areas that are ready to die in us, that the resurrection power of God works through us. This is why the apostle said, I die daily, that the life of Christ may be manifest in me. That dying was his resurrection that enabled him to be able to take on the responsibility of all the churches, ministry, teaching, eldership, trials, imprisonments, shipwrecks, beatings. They were coming against that life in him, which was Christ. That's how he kept going. He could never have done it in himself. Another area is that you see in the body which we are set into, that we see that we are part of the functioning of the body and ministry. As I say, our very presence helps make our meetings possible. Our very prayers and intercessions make these meetings a blessing, the word a blessing to us. This is what we do. If we love Christ, we love his body and what the body produces, which is the love of God, the fellowship of God with each other and with Christ and under his headship. And God is reminding this church at Sardis, they're dead and they need to come alive again. They need to recognize who's their head, not man. It is Christ who is head. You know, the idolatry in so many churches is just unbelievable. Many of them go because they like the teacher or they like the pastor or whatever it is. That's what they're following. They've not understood that it's Christ is the one you follow. He is the fellowship. He makes it possible. And very often this happens because ministry or a preacher or teacher is not pointing the people enough to Christ. As he said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The apostle and the disciples, they constantly turn the people's attention always to Christ, not themselves. Because the nature of man is to be idolatrous. And we've all done it. We've all suffered in this area at times until God highlights it. And he strengthened those areas that are ready to die in us. For there's only one. You see, our meetings are because of Jesus. If it's any other reason you come to these meetings, you've missed it. It is for him and his glory, first and foremost. Then everything flows from that. It's part of seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He says all these things will be added. It flows. And that's why each of us are part of the functioning of the body in order for Christ to be manifested. Did you know your presence enables, empowers, helps the manifestation of Christ to be seen? You are that important. When you start to see this like that, you begin to see what this assembly, this church is really about. We do everything unto the Lord, first and foremost. That should be the controlling part, if you like, of our walk, our mind, our thinking, our attitude, our everything. First and foremost, I do this unto the Lord. Another area you may need to strengthen in the discipline of prayer and the word. Oh, so often the enemy really attacks on this one. This is where you need the discipline. This is where we have to be trained as God's soldiers, particularly for prayer. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to illumine his word to us, to anoint our prayers and lead and guide them. Very, very important. And this, as we've shown in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen those areas which remain. And he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And we know that to watch spiritually means that we have this prayer life that is essential. Prayer makes us spiritually discerning, watchful, watching where the enemy's coming from, the predators. You know, many want the word of God, but they don't want prayer. And the point is that the word needs prayer and prayer needs the word. They are joined together, vital for our use. Otherwise, the word of God will not do its work. It will not feed. It will not give you that faith. We're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. But that's enabled by also with prayer. You see, this is why I have to pray. I have to pray over these teachings. They would never come otherwise. I can have the word. I can read the word, but the word will never be illumined. It will not be revelation unless prayer accompanies that, you see. The nature of prayer opens us up into the Spirit. That's its nature, because you're communing with God. You're talking with Him. And prayer enables you to also hear from Him as well. It's a two-way dialogue. Not only am I praying to Him those things that are of concern or a burden, or I'm praying something through for a season, but also I need to be still in that attitude to be able to hear Him, to know that He is God. That is equally important. I'm convinced that relationship really only happens when a saint has a prayer life. They know the Lord. They walk with the Lord. They are aware of God's presence. They know when God is speaking, when He's in that situation. They have that extra sensitivity, but it comes out of a prayer life. And maybe that's an area that needs to be strengthened in our lives. That's why prayer and the word cannot be separated. You hear a lot of Christians, "Oh, I'm for the word. I stand on the word. I won't believe anything unless it's in the word." Well, praise God for that. But it's not enough. It needs to be accompanied with a prayer life as well. And you don't hear that quite so much. And that's why prayer helps us to act on His word. The parable of the sower. The parable of the sower also needs prayer for the heart to be ready to receive the word of God. That's why I always encourage you before our meetings to get into prayer. Get yourself ready, prayed, your heart ready in which to receive seed into the heart, as well as praying for the word. You see, acting on it stops the enemy from trying to get in to hinder the word from being sown into the heart. That's what prayer does, you see. Prayer will also enable us to enter into the meeting and not just simply be a spectator, but that I'm... When I say enter into a meeting, you're entering into the presence of God. You're entering into the word that you're hearing. You are being moved by the Spirit. You are aware the Spirit is speaking into the heart. It's not just the mind. You are entering into this meeting. That's what's so important. And I'm not sure some of you fully understand this. It's just another meeting. You're not a spectator. You partake of this. I'm just a mouthpiece. But we are moved by the Holy Spirit and how he moves and what he says and what he's doing and what he's planting into our hearts. He's a farmer. He's got seed right now. He's planting. And it's up to you where that seed is planted. The pastor can't do that for you. No man can do that for you. It's as you enter in to the move of the Spirit. And as you open up, then you find your life is changing, conforming to that which you're hearing, you see. That's why we're not spectators, just simply listening to a sermon without making any effort to open up, open your hearts up, to act upon that which you hear. Another area where things have to die is still these fleshly appetites. And it's not just simply that you overeat or your life is just around food all the time or whatever it would be, but just our flesh in general. We find every day that we're walking in Sodom. There's always something there that tries to get our attention or draw our minds and thinking away in a lustful, unclean way. It's everywhere and getting worse and worse. One wonders that can anything come out of this last generation that becomes so reprobate? Well, again, the Spirit preserves us. He keeps us. This is why a prayer life is so important. We need to be prayed up before we walk into this world and what we face. And you will find that your prayers, your intercessions, it's like it creates a barrier around you, a wall around you. Yes, it's happening. Yes, you're looking at it, but somehow it doesn't penetrate. And that comes by prayer. You put on the armor. You have the whole armor and it's working. You see, all of these things are so important. And it's as you begin to appropriate these things, do you begin to realize, yes, they are true. Yes, they do work. It is real. So many people are consumed, overboard, in so many things, addicted. The addiction rates now is just off the chart with people. And you can be addicted almost to anything. It's not just drink or drugs, it's infinitely more these days. Some people are just addicted to just wasting money. They buy stupid, unnecessary things. I know some people, compulsive buying, can't stop. That's an addiction. Always wanting something new, never satisfied. All of these are compulsions, addictions, and are prevalent now in these closing days. And this is why we're seeing aggression now mounting up like we've never seen before. Government can't control now the violence, the aggression. I've heard that shoplifting is out of control. And not only do they shoplift, but they're violent. They attack. Government can't really cope with it. We're seeing now these displays of anger. And people are so critical, slandering one another, jealous of one another, all of which is on the increase. And the body of Christ can have its fair share as well. These are areas we need to be delivered from. It's fearful how little of the word is taken in, and our trials give us a clear indication. Are you going through trials, tests? Well, what's happening in the trial, in the test? What are you manifesting? You see, that's the thing. And it's a clear, clear sign that my prayer life isn't as it should be. I'm not walking with God as I should be. And thank God, this is where repentance comes in. It's the key. And this is why we have to humble ourselves, as he's saying here to this church at Sardis. Failure to watch over our spiritual lives is ignoring the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us. And eventually he won't speak any more. My spirit will not always strive with man, the Lord says. And I've seen that. And it's frightening. Those who once walked were on fire with the Lord. Not anymore. Because they suppress, they ignore the Holy Spirit, his promptings. This is why we have to, as I close, walk this walk, that the fruit may be seen in our lives. Because that's the only evidence that the world sees, that by the fruit they shall be known. Let's close with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we are walking in good works, the fruit of the Spirit, that is a clear sign the Lord has gone before and prepared that we should walk in them. It is a sign we've been called from the foundation of the world. It's all there. That's how we're to walk. So this is what it says then to the church at Sardis. And the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. It means that we can miss out on the rapture, and nobody wants to go through the great tribulation and be led to the mercy of the Antichrist. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins. There are 5 wise and there are 5 foolish. They are virgins, but the wise are watching and praying. They have taken that vessel with them, as well as their lamps, and they're getting that oil, the oil of anointing, preparation for the last days, because without that light, you do not see. So this light is imperative. because Christ is the light of the world. And that light lights up our way, our path, the word of God. It enables us to hear his voice, to hear his word, and to be able to pray and intercede before him. That light is imperative. And those wise virgins, they saw it and paid the cost, the price for that oil of anointing.